Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Stoner TV here on NuVisu, coming to you from Leipzig, Germany. And today, you can already see it, we have a theory subject that I want to talk about. In the latest episodes that we dealt with archaeology, with history, mythology, and stuff like that. But that's not the only focus that we have. We also see the world right now. Because actually, for me, history and archaeology and all this stuff is the purpose of looking at these things is that you see a connection into our times. So the focus I always have on the here and now. And from this position on, of course, I follow the threads and see where it leads us. So we see where we come from. But we watch where we come from only to analyze where we are right now. That's it. So today we have something that is a subject of our time. Actually, it's something that a story that is unfolding right now. The followers of the story, they even say it's the biggest story never told, you know. So this is actual stuff. And we talk about this phenomenon of QAnon, which the American watchers of you are probably familiar with this. I don't explain right now what QAnon is. I mean, you know it. If not, you have to look it up. QAnon, it's an anonymous source. Of an individual, maybe a collective of people, probably with connection also to artificial intelligence, and QAnon seems to be very close in the surroundings of U.S. President Donald Trump. That's some of the news that are coming from QAnon. They pointed this view. There's pictures from Air Force One and stuff like that. Since October 2017, from QAnon, there came an endless series of information, of drops and crumbs, as the Q people call it. And these are informations that are posted on 8chan, which is something like an internet forum where you can, on an anonymous base, where you can post material. So, This QAnon stuff is getting quite momentum in America. It's getting real big. It's something like a movement that is establishing itself right now. And it has a close connection, of course, to the Trump administration. And I can already say that at this point in the show, I have a very critical view on this QAnon thing. For me, out of my point of view, it looks like a classic psyop, which is highly sophisticated. It's highly developed, and it from my point of view, it leads people in the wrong direction. See, there's so many stuff, and I'm confronted with so many stories, so many. If a story for me has no value, if it has no legs, as we say, then okay, I just drop it, you know. But it's not worth presenting it to you here. But this story is different, because I see a certain danger in it. And that's why I want to take a clear stand on my point of view on this. I know it's a controversial stuff, and probably many of you people don't want to hear this. But hey, I mean, my job is not to speak you after the mouth, but I speak what I see. And of course, it's controversial, and we can debate about this, but hey, that's my way of doing this. This is part of the series that we also talk about controversial stuff. So, the QAnon, what's the story about this? I mean, there's a certain storyline that is presented, not by critics as me, like me, but from the people who support this movement. Let's call him the Anonites or something like that. And the storyline that's presented there is as such, in a nutshell. They say America and also the entire world, because America is the number one nation in our times, America is ruled since, at latest since President Kennedy, by families, by certain clans that are highly criminal. that are connected to really big time criminal stuff like drug trafficking worldwide, pedophilia, human trafficking, and all kinds of really dark stuff. And within the deep state, I mean, these people also built up the deep state, or in other words, the military industrial complex. This is the same thing. And now within this deep state, and within the US military, and within this scene, the story says that there are certain honorable patriots that are no more willing to go with this, and people who are honorable and who see, hey, this is leading into crime, this is not in tune with the American values of freedom and the American Constitution and the American spirit. These patriots say we ought to change this, we ought to get rid of all these criminal structures, and then we're back again the land of the free. And the world will be free. I mean, that's the basic storyline, and it says that many of these patriots, they are within the NSA, which is one of the most criticized secret agents. I mean, the NSA, they are the ones that are collecting data. Everything that is running on this earth via electronic communication. Years ago, it was just the telephone, you remember. Nowadays, everything that is going via internet, every email, every WhatsApp, whatever, you know, you name it. Everything is collected by the NSA since decades. Somebody like from my generation, probably everything that I ever done with a telephone. I mean, I lived in West Germany, so it's everything went into some big data bank. And now they say, but this has also this entire collecting of data of human beings, and no respect for privacy or stuff like that, or even laws, because it's in our constitution, you know, that we have a certain right of privacy and stuff. But let's take that away. The advantage is, they say now, that the NSA has also surveilled all the communication of these criminal clans. So they say they have all the emails of, let's say, and they are in the main focus of this QAnon, and all the Clintons, the Clintons' emails, all their correspondency and of Obama and stuff. And they say, they claim, that they have, in this communication, and these emails and stuff, they have proof enough that these elites can be brought to judge, to court. They speak about evidence that they have there. And so they made up, these patriots, they say, they made up this big plan. And that's at the core of the story. There's a plan. A plan how they can get rid of these criminal clans. And they said there were only two options. One was a military coup, and that is only Plan B, I guess, because they said a military coup, well, it will be it comes together with violence and violence on the streets, and might be a very painful way of getting things straight again. So they invented this other plan. A big plan how over the years how they can get rid of this criminal cabal. That's the Q plan, and Q is, so to say, the mastermind of the plan, the maker of the plan, the great architect, you might say it, and this is a Mason speaker, so you can realize in what direction this goes. So there's this big Q. Also in use with artificial intelligence, you know, highly sophisticated. And from this came the plan. And part of the plan is Donald Trump. They say they chose Donald Trump in advance. They made him strong. They made his campaign strong. And finally, they even made it. The plan was so strong to get Trump in such a position that the American people voted for him. And now he's president since a couple of years. And now the plan goes on that while we see Trump doing all kinds of things in world politics, they say there's a hidden agenda behind it. And in this hidden agenda, Trump is working on getting all these criminal families arrested. And there's plans that there's already 10,000 on lists that will be persecuted and stuff like that. It comes always in drops and crumbs, little information that is also not always clear, but it's decoded. You have to dive deep into the stuff to make out of these drops and crumbs that come from Q to make a news out of it. There needs to be somebody who's decoding the stuff, and this is sort of an inner circle of Anonites, that's a stupid word probably, of Q followers that are sort of translating the information that drops, translating this into our language so we can follow it. But the thing is, we don't know, we never know which of the informations is true and which is not. And it all comes down to this, and it's like a mantra, and it's not coming from me. It's a mantra that these Q people that they propagate. It's on countless YouTube videos. It's on there, and the mantra says, "Trust the plan. You ought to trust the plan. Lean back, enjoy your popcorn, enjoy the show. Trust the plan. Q is getting things done for you." Now that's the idea, and. To be honest, already at this point, there's many red flags going on in, within me. You know, I mean, this is a narrative that is very familiar. I've heard it all before. Yes, it sounds like I heard it all before. And sorry to say this, because I know many of you probably listening to this or watching this from America, but from a European perspective, I would say this is a typical American story that is coming here, that we've seen in so many Hollywood movies, and we've seen this stuff so much before. It's like the good guys and the bad guys. And that's a very simple way of looking at the world, you know. This is, I would even say it's the way a child looks at the world. There's good and bad, there's black and white. And if you get rid of the bad guys, if you get rid of the black, then white has won. But this is just not the case in reality. I mean, things are much more complicated, and it's never been that way that it's only good and bad. You know, this is a dualistic worldview. It's a worldview that is it's a trap. Yeah, it's a trap. Like Hegel said with this. You have a thesis and you have an antithesis. It's dialectic, and people are caught in this. And it's the same thing again. And it's not. This is not a way of healing. If you want to reach world peace, it will not be done if you just think you take off the bad guys and get them in jail or whatever you do with it. Or you might. Some people are even. In such an outrage, they would go like Dirty Harry, you know, shoot them all and then make the world better. But this is not working that way. Because, I mean, these structures that we talk about, these are old structures. These are ideas, ideologies, occult practices. And you don't get rid of them if you just take away the people. It's like in medicine. It's when the body is sick, when a man is sick, you don't only look at the symptoms, you know, and change something on the symptoms. You might not cure him, yeah. And but if you want to cure him, yeah, you have to go deeper than just on the surface, you know, treating them symptoms. It's similar like that. So it's a very simple way of looking at, and we've heard the story so many times before. It's like Hollywood, you know. It's like in a Western. There's the guy with the white hats and there's the guys with the black hats. And it's easy for everyone to follow who is the good guys, who's the bad ones. Now, we can transport this into another setting. Check out Star Wars. Isn't it the same, you know, the white Jedi Knights and the black evil empire. And it's always yin and yang fighting, you know, it can go through all times. But that ain't peace. This is not a way of healing. Yeah, this is holding people in this dualistic thing. We against them. And you might change a position. But people like me, I'm in neither one position. I'm not in going to this side or that side. I want to see the whole. That's my approach of it. The settings change. We've seen it in so many things. I mean, remember all the dupes and traps that were in this New Age movement. There it was also this storyline. Yeah, there will be some great master like Master Moriah from Shambhala who will bring us peace, or it will be the great white brotherhood of some benevolent aliens with the motherships that are cruising around, and they gonna sort it out. You know, our world is in a mess, but hey, it has nothing to do with us, because in the end, somebody will come and save us. That's a similar thing. That's a very, very simple story, and we've seen this so many times before. And also, what irritates me from the first glimpse when I look at this stuff is also that there's always how can I say that there's always a religious undertone within it. May God bless you. You know, we've got a big plan. Well, a plan, that's nothing else like in these old religions that we have. It's a script. And I'm criticizing these Western religions for most of my life now. The Jewish religion as well as Christian religion, Islam. But also this savior stuff, this messiah thinking, yeah, you find this also in other religions, but mainly it's in these Western religions where you have a book, you know, it's a book of God, the Torah or the Bible or the Quran. It's always a script, and the script is like the plan, and you have to trust it. And this is why I criticize these religions anyway, because I mean they take away the responsibility that you have for your own life, and they take you, they put you in this position. Just trust, be a believer. You don't have to do anything. I mean, you lean back, you be calm, and follow the rules, and trust the plan. Everything will be set for you. And then there comes the savior story. The savior saving you. But I mean, this is at the core. This is wrong from my point of view. This is wrong. It's like Bob Marley said. He sang it. None of ourselves can free our mind, and that's exactly it. We can only do it on ourselves, and we should not rely on any of these saviors, no matter where they come from. Now, this Q story, it's such a simple version. You trust the plan, you lean back, somebody else is doing that for you, and this can't be true. Now, this is the first thing. The next thing that is irritating me in this is the figure of Donald Trump. Now, I know. I speak as a German, and it's not up to me to criticize the American people for whoever they vote. That's not my point. Because I know that many in our governments and in our media, they are crying, "Ah, Trump, he's such a bad guy." This is... I don't care about this, you know. I mean, America, we have to respect the will of the American people. The same that I expect that other countries would respect our way of living and the way we organize ourselves. This would be the ideal thing. In an ideal world, we would be no master, no servant. We look at each other in eye contact, and that's great. Just respecting the other one. And if some other country has a different tradition and different way of organizing themselves than we do, hey, you ought to respect that. No nation building with other nations, no messing around with regime overthrows and stuff like that. This is respectless. So I'm not on this. I'm not beaten on Trump like all the others are. I respect that. Yeah, but I'm not. A big fan of Trump, because what irritates me all the time with Trump is the connection that he has into these religious, I might even say into these apocalyptic groups. And the core figure of this is seen here. This is of course Donald Trump. This is his charmable daughter Ivanka Trump. And this guy, this gentleman on the very left, he's the core figure of this. This is Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner. And Jared Kushner is not only married with Ivanka Trump, so he's the son-in-law of Donald Trump, part of the family, but he's also the main advisor of the US president. And I remember in the first weeks and months when Trump got his presidency, nearly all the time when he was in speaking in public, whatever it was, there was always Kushner around. He was always in the picture. You take a watch at a newspaper or something. Always, hey, who's this guy there? That's Jared Kushner. And now this guy is such an interesting figure because he comes from New York. He was born and raised in a Jewish Orthodox family, and there's many things that are pointing in a direction that it looks to me, and I'm not the only one. It's very, this guy is suspicious of being not only a Jew. This is religion, you know, but that he's part of these apocalyptic sects, of these messianic sects that there are. And many people of you don't really know these things. It's not a subject that is very often talked about because it's really hot stuff as well. And at that point, I want to make a reference to another German, to Wolfgang Eggert, a very good researcher, German researcher, who has focused on exactly this, on the messianic, on the apocalyptic sects within the Jewish religion that there are. And he wrote a few books. He's also had a few presentations on YouTube and interviews. And I guess his material is also available in English because this is in an international dimension. This is good research that he brought up. So check this out if you're not familiar. Wolfgang Eggert is the man. And many things point that Kushner belongs to these apocalyptic sects. Now, these apocalyptic sects, they don't trust the plan. They don't wait till the plan fulfills itself, the Book of God and all the prophecies and things that are encoded in the Torah as well as in the Bible and all that stuff. They don't wait until this prophecies fulfill, but they act. That's a big difference. The most of the people who are in these religions, they are the believers. Like, trust the plan. You trust in God, you trust in this, and you don't do anymore. It doesn't help you to find the truth in yourself. That's what they say. They want you to be humble, be quiet, step back, be passive, you know, and not an active role of shaping this world, of shaping our society. No, be passive. Authority will do for you. That's what it actually says. Trust the plan. But these people, they are a minority within the religions, within the Jewish and also within the Christians and Muslims and stuff. This is not the majority. The majority is believing and being passive. But within there are sects. And the word sect already says it. It's like a section. It's a part of the whole. It's not the whole thing. It's only like if you have a circle, then this is a sector. That's what a sect comes from. It's only a part. Yeah? And a part that can break away also, a sect. And these people, they don't trust the plan, they make the plan. Now that's a big difference. They make the plan. And indeed, from my point of view, this goes on over many generations. That's why I'm saying it's not helpful if you just take out some people and then every problem on the world is saved. No, it's not like that. We have structures, we have traditions that go back a long time. And the same people, of course not the same human beings, because a human being only gets 80 or maybe 100 years if you're really getting old. But it's the same spirit, the same spiritual, mental, philosophical, if you will, source. That is going over generations, and it's the same who make the prophecies. They are the same that fulfill them. So it's self-fulfilling prophecies. They don't believe in the plan. That's it. Because at the core, these people, they are not religious people. At the core, these people are nihilists. They don't believe in any God. That's a story for you. That's a story for the masses of the people. They don't believe in God, because if they would believe, they would just trust and also wait till the Messiah comes. But they don't do it. They don't wait. They act in a way that the Messiah is coming. They are actively doing this. And this is going for years. And in this case now that we talk about Trump and Jared Kushner, we need to focus now on these messianic Jewish movements. Of course, it's not only within the Jews, and this is not bashing Jews. You know, nothing like that. It's a critic of the religion, of course. Yeah, I criticize Jewish religion as well as Christian religion, because they all have this messianic basics. That's what it all is. But the most people who are Christians, I mean, I don't go there and say, ah, oh, these are dangerous people. No, because the most of them, they are in this we lean back and trust the plan. And so they are normal people, yeah, no problem. But there are some, within these religions, there are sects. Yeah? And now we focus on this Jewish religion, on the messianic sects within the Jewish religion. And these people are dangerous. It's written in these books that to make the Messiah come again, we human beings need to sacrifice something. The Messiah is not coming just out of grace and out of love for human beings. You know, wow, we love and so let's all get free. This is not the spirit in there. No, you ought to pay something. You ought to sacrifice. And this goes also long back, this story. And now, let's go back to this Jared Kushner guy. There's strong suspicions. And, you know, I speak very conservatively, because I think that's the way it is. But there's strong suspicions that this Kushner is closely related to these groups. Now, one thing that is pointing, that's a little fun fact, and here we see again a Kushner. But one thing that is really an amazing little fun fact, so to say, is the story about this building in New York. This is in New York, and the address of this building is relevant, and this is 5th Avenue 666 building. 666, 666, 5th Avenue. Now, I don't need to explain you the power of the 666 stuff. It comes from the apocalypse of John. It's the number of the beast. It's pointing to this end time thinking. That's what 666 is. You know, if you ask me, I'm not in these mindsets of God and Satan. I told you before, you know, I'm a human, I'm a man. I'm very grounded, you know. I'm not in these dualistic thinkings that there's good God and bad devil and fighting and stuff. I'm not in this. And it doesn't matter if you or I are in this. What counts is that these sects exist and that they force and push these stories. Yeah? So this is the building 666 Fifth Avenue. You can even see it here on the very top, and this there's in big three big sixes in red, yeah? and they shine at nighttime. Yeah? So it's a big thing. Yeah? And isn't it curious? I mean, this entire setting, and there's also other buildings around there. I think Trump Tower is also nearby and stuff. And this building, this 666 Fifth Avenue building. Now, this is the most expensive purchase of a single building that was ever done in the United States history, and I guess in world history. I'm not sure. Maybe it's. Well, that's a good thing, way of thinking. I mean, are there some other cities that have even more expensive places? Maybe in the world. Yeah. But New York City, Manhattan. I mean, this is really, really expensive. And I can't remember the exact sum. I want to write it down, but I forgot. But it's a fabulous price. It's something over $1 billion, $1.5 billion, or even more. You can look it up. You can find this stuff in Wikipedia. This is not hidden knowledge. See, this is information that you can research. That's the difference to all this information that is coming from QAnon. You can only trust it. I cannot research this information. You know, when I first got into this QAnon stuff, it's interesting. Wow, and because of course there's many of these informations I get in resonance with because some of the stuff I know. Of course, this is nothing new for my ears that there's some really evil shit going on, also in high places. I mean, we face people like Jimmy Savile and this entire in Britain these pedophilic circles that lead in the highest places. I have no doubt about that. And I mean, certain things, of course, we know. There's some stuff that is really in a mess there. We know this. But whatever comes from QAnon is take it or leave it. You know, you cannot research with it. This is information that you can research. Because I don't want you to believe in me, because then we would also be in this mixed up thing. Now, I want to be with you in eye contact. Eye and eye. No master and servant games here, you know? I speak to you as a brother, okay? Maybe I have some information. I mean, I'm working in this, so I'm a professional, so to say. In my life, I deal with this stuff so I can talk to you. But I don't talk to you as crumbs and drops and something that you have to decode. I try to express myself as clear as I can. And of course, maybe sometimes I fail at certain language hurdles in an American English language. But hey, I mean, you see, I speak from the stuff that I see. Maybe I'm wrong in some points. That's also no problem here for me. I mean, I am not Q, who's without failure, you know, who's the supermind or a demigod or shit like this. No, we need to get on eye contact. And stuff like this, you can research. And you auto-research this. It's not that you believe only what I say. I only want to stimulize you, that you, hey, check out this fact, so you know this. What do you do with that? I mean, for all you Q followers, what do you do with this connection of Jared Kushner? And Jared Kushner, he's the most influential man on in this Trump administration. He's the most influential man. This Jared Kushner, I don't even know if he has an official position there. I mean, he's counselor, okay, a counselor. Nearly anybody can be a counselor, you know. But this guy, he's not a minister or something, but still he goes on diplomatic missions. And we don't know what this guy is dealing. Yeah? Jared Kushner, without any planning or further announcement, without any, how do you say that? It's not the normal way. In the diplomatic world, there are certain etiquettes that you have to follow. Yeah, but he's breaking all this stuff, like Trump is as well. But Kushner's breaking this. He's from one day to the other, he's getting in the plane and flying to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and dealing with Saudis. And from there, he goes on to Israel and dealing there. And what mission is he there? Is this any official mission of the American government? We don't really know. But this is the influence that he has on Trump. Yeah? It's amazing. Yeah? And now this and so much influence from a guy that is at least, and I think it's really fair to say that he's at least suspicious of being deeply involved in these messianic groups. Now that alone, this fact alone, is deeply irritating me. Because I see these sects, not only Jewish, but these religious sects that are into this apocalyptic end-time thinking, they are dangerous. You know, we say it's a traditional a tradition of us to say, you know, let live others. Yeah? Religion is a private thing. Everybody can believe what he wants, and you know, I'm not on some vendetta against religions. You know, I respect that highly. I was traveling all over the world or many countries, and if I see religion, I respect this. You know, if it's a Buddhist temple or if it's an Orthodox church, I respect. And also respect to the people who go there, and you know, and being humble, and that's fine with me. What is the problem are these active groups that are not waiting for the plan. But the problem are these people who are making the plan and who are working on fulfillments, especially if these people have no love for life. Because at the core, these people are nihilists. If you really dive deep into this whirlpool of strange lies and stuff, these people don't trust any God. They don't wait for God to save this world. They don't trust in God. They don't believe in God like the masses do. They don't believe in nothing. They are nihilists. They are the no soul fraction. They are against life. And from this point of view, they create these narratives and say, ah, we waiting for the savior for you all. And until you people wait, you're just a flock. You know, you reduce yourself to a flock animal. You're not a free man. A free man is not waiting for any savior. You know, save yourselves. Come on. And but these people they create these narratives, and at the same time they work in a very destructive way, because the narrative of these religions says that the Messiah can come only after a certain sacrifice is given. Within the Christian context, it's Christ can only come and establish God's just empire. It can only happen after Armageddon. And Armageddon, that's also a really destructive vision. I mean, I've seen in Greek Orthodox churches and monasteries, they have a big focus also on this apocalyptic stuff. I mean, you just watch the paintings on the wall. Wow, I tell you, this is not a very, very gentle vision. You know, it's a vision of a burning world, of destruction, of blood flowing. Yeah? This is the idea within these groups, that the world needs to burn before the Messiah can come. And they don't wait that this happens. They want to make the world burn. You know, that's the difference. That's why these people are so dangerous. And now if somebody who is connected, or even there's only a suspicion that he's connected to these groups, and that he has obviously money and a lot of potential power behind him, then I tell you, there goes on the alarm bells within me. Yeah. Now the center, if we speak now of this messianic stuff. The center, of course, is this place. This is Jerusalem. And this is the Temple Mount of Jerusalem. Actually, this is a very interesting place. I've been there also. This is one of the oldest cult places on Earth, I would say. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem. This is old stuff. You know, this is old stuff. This is older than Jewish religion. You know, this is old stuff. And It all focuses on this point, on this location, on this spot. And only on this Temple Mount there can be built the third temple, the third temple for the Jewish God. Now, the first temple was built by Solomon, the mystical king, the great king of the Jews, let's say it like that. And this temple, of course, also the first temple has a big significance for any of any esoteric traditions. This entire Freemason narrative is coming out of that. Who's a Mason? A Mason's the builder, it's the architect, it's the plan maker, it's the same thing. The Freemasons, they speak about the great architect of the world. Well, architect is also plan, you know, this is it. And the Freemasons say that the first great Freemason was the one who built the Solomonic Temple. And the Solomonic Temple, by the way, it was built not only to pray to God, to kneel down. No, it was the home. It was the home of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is interesting stuff. And at another episode, we might focus more on that. Well, what is the Ark of the Covenant? What is this stuff that Moses and his guys brought from Egypt? From Egypt? I mean, where did it take it from? What has it to do with the pyramids and stuff? Wow, I tell you, very interesting stuff. And we will get to this in this series here, but not tonight. So, but the temple was also home for this stuff. So it shows you just the global significance of this entire stuff. Now, of course, the temple was destroyed, and it was the second temple built by Herodes, destroyed again, but then by the Romans. And then there came the Islamic invasion of Jerusalem. And these two buildings, these are Islamic buildings. This is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and this is the Dome of the Rocks. And now the thing is, the temple can only be built exactly on this spot. It can't be built 100 meters somewhere else. No, it has to be on this spot. So I'm an optimistic man, but I cannot see any scenario, because I've also been in the region. I know many Israelis. I also know Palestinians. I've been in the Arab world. You know, I'm quite. I know this stuff, and I don't see any scenario where you can raise this new temple in peace, because these places are for the Muslim world. These are also absolutely sacred. This is the for the Muslim world. This is the third most sacred place. It's Mecca, Medina, and then we come to Jerusalem. Why? Because the story goes that here in the Dome of the Rocks, this is not a mosque. There's no. This is not a regular mosque. I've been there. When you go inside, there's the natural rock of the ground is seen there, a rock formation, and there's the two prints of the hoof. Of the horseshoe of Mohammed's horse are still in there. And the story goes from this place, Mohammed and his horse they left the earth and flew into heaven. So this is a very special place. And also, it's just a cultural heritage, you know, no matter if you have to do it with any of these religions. But this is, you know, this is eighth century, I guess. I mean, this is an amazing building. In this time, what a beautiful building the arch is. This is, you know, something that we want to preserve. Yeah. Also, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, quite interesting. When I was there, that was back in the 90s, quite impressing when you enter the mosque. And even before you get in the mosque, in some rooms that are in advance, well, there's exhibition of the clothes of the last martyrs, of the last intifada, when people got shot there on the mountain fighting against the Israeli army and stuff. And they show that this is all exhibition there, the t-shirts and the jeans of these guys that are torn and bloodstained. And then, whoa, did you go there? This is irritating. I mean, what is this, you know, this tension there? Amazing. So it's very sensible ground there. That's what I tell you. And there's no way that you can do this peacefully. You know, it's just not possible. But it doesn't matter, because in this entire narrative, there is no peaceful end time. The end time is always a big burning of the world. It's always a apocalyptic Armageddon scenario. Yeah? And now in this messianic thinking, and we dive a little bit deeper into this, there's the idea before the Messiah comes, there needs to be a sacrifice. Yeah? And the sacrifice, some rabbis go so far to say that the sacrifice is Israel itself. Israel itself will have to burn to make the Messiah come. Now, I mean, this is the point where religion is no more privacy. Because when my friends who live in Tel Aviv, and I have friends and brothers all over the world, brothers and sisters, you know, and I know there's people in Tel Aviv living like me, you know, and if they are told, hey, you belong to the chosen people, well, that's good news. Now the divine or fate wants you to fulfill the book. Okay, whatever to do with it. Yeah, well, you have to burn, you know. What? I mean, this is crazy, you know. You just want to live your life, and you don't want to deal with these things. But that's the way that they think. The Messiah can only come when the big sacrifice is there, and the highest, most valuable sacrifice. In their thinking, it's not me. And they're thinking that the biggest sacrifice is the Jewish people itself. So they want to burn this. They want to burn the world. They want to burn Israel. And from there, in an ideal way, it would be a big Armageddon scene, big war scene all over the world. And then afterwards, then comes the just time of God. But I mean, how do we cope with that? You know? Now, I tell you, this is not, and usually I would not have to need to justify myself, but we live nowadays in times that are so intense, emotional. So I want to make this clear. This is not an anti-Semitic attitude at all. You know, this is an attitude pro-life and pro-human. And I reject all religions that ask for sacrifices of blood, of human blood or animal blood. This is not necessary. You know, I'm also a spiritual man. I'm not a materialistic man. I'm a child of the earth, but I'm not on materialistic that I say, oh, it's all bullshit. No, but I have a heart, I have a soul. But in this truth, what my heart and my soul tells me, there's no need for any sacrifices at all. There is no God that you have to sacrifice your blood or parts of your body or whatever, you know. It's not necessary. That's just not true. And these people who tell you these stories, they don't believe it either. Because they don't wait until this stuff happens, they create it. And now, we dive even a little bit more deep, and it's getting bizarre if you get in this mindset of these people, you know. It's bizarre. I don't believe in these things. I want to make it clear. I only want to point, hey, there's people who are acting in these mindsets and who are highly dangerous to our world and to our peace. So the story goes, it's in these prophecies, that God will send a perfect red cow. A perfect red cow. Now, what is that? A cow? A red cow? I don't even know what that is, you know. But it's a cow with a red fur, with red hair. And it's only perfect if there is not one single hair on the body of the cow that is not red. Now, obviously, this is very rare. This is nearly impossible. It doesn't happen, you know. I mean, every hair of this animal is complete red. But now it's there. Check out this. This is a video that was published by the Temple Institute. This comes directly from the Temple Institute, so this is also real news, you know, it's coming from them. And they say the red heifer was born. It's brand new, August 28, 2018, the red heifer is born. Now it's the time for the end time. This is it, this is what they were waiting for. No, wrong! This is not what they were waiting for, because they created it. It even says it's in this text here, I guess it's in one of the next lines, you can watch it. They created this. You know, they were not waiting. They have a program, the Red Heifer program, and for many years now, and I've been talking about this already 5 years ago, we were still laughing, you know, because it sounds so absurd. But they were creating this red heifer with genetic manipulation and working out for years now, and now finally they claim, and I don't witness if maybe we find a brown hair on this body as well, but they claim that now they found it. Now isn't that irritating? But it goes even deeper, because when you wonder, why do they need a red cow for this temple? I mean, what is all this? Now let me tell you, it's the prophecies say that to build the new temple, first you have to clean this entire space. You have to reset it, because for so many times in their thinking, unbelievers were there and building their domes and stuff, and this is all to vanish. And then we have to clear the place up again. And to do this, you need to have priests, rabbis, that are also perfectly cleared, clean themselves. And this you can only achieve if you have the ashes of a perfect burned red cow. I'm serious. I know this, even now when I talk about it, it sounds so bizarre to me. I guess that's the word to describe. It's bizarre, ain't that? This is bizarre thinking, but it's serious. I mean, they have a program, now they have this cow. What they do, the cow will be burned, it will be burned. It's a cow sacrifice. And from the ashes of this cow, with the ashes, the priest can clean himself. Don't ask me how he's doing it. I mean, I don't know if it's like they do in India. In India, this is also of a certain importance, you know, ashes and cleaning, you know. That's the thing, you know, in this entire craziness, within the craziness, things make sense, you know. Same with like within the queue, because then otherwise it would be obviously that nobody would buy into it. Within this thinking, this stuff makes sense. Also that it's a red cow, I guess it makes sense. What just pops in my mind is, was it in the time of when they were burning witches and haunting witches? It was the red hair, you know. Red hair was already, you were suspicious. And it might even, and I want to only hoax it on, give a little hint here, is the red hair color there might also be a connection to this to this blood type phenomena. Type O negative. Well, we're going to talk about this maybe at another time, but just see the connection there. It's not by accident with this red, you know. Red is maybe it points to a more copper, or it's copper and iron within the blood, and it's got to do with these things. Maybe or maybe not. Okay, I shouldn't really make up my mind to explain this bizarre thinking, because in the end it's just bizarre. I don't believe in this stuff at all. This is like Maha superstition, yeah. But the thing is, this red cow, and I want to throw in another term, and just the term, you will see how we react, because we are conditioned on this. It's the term Holocaust. Holocaustos, that's a Greek word, actually. It's Greek. And holo, it means whole. It's the same like whole. It's holistic in English, the whole thing. And kaustos, that wants to say burned. So holocaustos is something that is completely burned, that is perfectly burned. And if it's a holocaustos, it's a perfect sacrifice. That's what the term holocaustos means. And I mean, you might wonder yourself why when we talk about war crimes and crimes against the Jewish people, why we call this a holocaust. I mean, this is already for me, wow, we should not take crimes into this occult level, because it's crimes, you know. But that's another thing. But that's the idea, to create a holocaustus and then out of the ashes clean yourself and then you can clean the spot, and then you can raise the temple, and then the Messiah can come. But then for the Messiah, we need even a bigger holocaust than just a red cow. Now, weird stuff, ain't it? Irritating, if we talk about these things. And I'm not talking from a position of pointing at all of them, or it's anti-Israel. See, if I would be an Israeli guy, this would really, really worry me. This kind of politics, of preaching, of burning the world. Come on, if you're a child of the earth, this cannot be in your interest. That this entire sinful, bad, devilish earth will be burned, and then we raise up something new. Will that be better? Hey, this is perfect life, ain't it? This earth is a perfect being, and we as human beings, as children of the earth, we are perfectly here. We can drink water if we're dry. We can breathe. I mean, it's all there, you know. I never buy into this thinking that the earth is something bad and human being is something bad, because this is always the same story that we are told over and over again. We're told it nowadays. We have all these religions that say you're a sinner and always you need a savior. We have it in New Age as well. You know, it's always the same story, but within the time the label's changing. Just like a bottle of wine, you've got the same old wine in there, but you make a new cover on it and say, hey, this is good wine. It's the same story again, and I heard it over and over. You know, it's always this idea that there's a savior who's straightened things out for us. That's not true. That's just not true, and it's useless to wait. And these guys, they don't wait. They act while we are waiting. This is a trick. You know, there's some. It's a small, only a small group of people. They are acting, and the whole other people are passive. Trust the plan, you know, trust the plan. No, I don't trust it. I don't trust the Q plan as well as I don't trust this plan from some religions, from some people who are writing their book thousands of years ago and all this prophecy stuff. No, I'm already on this point now to say, I guess we would be better off if we wouldn't have these books, you know. And just, I mean, there's so much more that I want to tell you, but just because it drops in my mind, you know. Our forefathers didn't write books, huh? They didn't write books. Was it because they were too stupid? No, I told you, I showed you already, I mean, Nebra and the Sky Disk and stuff, these were highly developed people, but they didn't write books. They had already a script, the runes. With the runes, this is an alphabet. You can write everything with runes. Just like with our alphabet, it's quite simple, it's a code already. But they didn't use the runes to write these stories and books, and you have to believe in this. Not like that. This is just a different way of coming. I don't trust these books. I don't trust the plan. That's what I seriously want to say. Yeah. Yeah. And well, let's come back now. And so I present you. Actually, I present you two things. The first part of this today was a look at this modern right now movement of QAnon, Anonymous, and then I presented you this tradition of religions, of sacrifice thinking, and of the very bizarre world of these apocalyptic groups. And from my point of view, if we look at both of them, that's quite similar. These are connected. And to be honest, it comes from the same source. These are the same people that are doing these things. And so that's the reason why I really say we have to take a deep look at this. Also, this entire Q story, you know, it's also from an intellectual point of view. This is not intellectual. This is not creative thinking and an exchange of ideas, of informations, of, you know, getting on. No, it's a one-way ticket. It comes from above. Here's the drops and crumbs. Then there's an inner circle, like priests, that are translating this into our world. And then we get it presented as a YouTube video. Wow. But this intellectually, it's not a challenge also. This is a simple thing. It's childish. That's what it is. Now, let me tell you one more thing about this entire Q stuff. It might also be some other traps coming with it. I guess this is the main thing. The main thing is, and that's why I see it dangerous, I have the worries, and I cannot prove it, okay? But I have this, I'm alarmed, I'm alerted by this, to see that we have a US president who seems to be a tool of these people. And Jared Kushner, he's a central figure. And If these people are making politics, I'm alerted. You know, I'm alerted. This is no more private, and they do this in their temples, and it's a private thing. No, they are making politics, and this is not leading to a good solution for us people, for sure not, because they in the core these storytellers, they are nihilists. They have no love and affection for life, for Earth, for humans. They don't value that. So I see that from my point of view, it leads in this direction. That's the main problem. But there's also some little, how can you say it, collateral damages. I guess it's not a good expression. But what I want to say is, for all of you out there who are also making news, who are working as professionals or as amateurs in this internet world, people who are moving in there and who are pushing this queue again, we need to be also careful. I mean, there's some stuff coming in this from this Q agenda. Many people very easily now say, "Wow, the Clintons, they are involved in really heavy crimes." And it's possible, you know. I don't count that out. I know that our elites, or at least part of them, are connected with those things. But is it all of them? Can you prove it? Now, what if just a scenario, a possible scenario. I'm not saying this will the way it will happen, but just a scenario that also might unfold, that may be part of the plan. You know, when this new group got rid of the old stuff, and we might have turbulent scenes. Some people even fear of civil wars. We might have a few years where it's getting a little bit uncomfortable. And afterwards, there might be a new order coming, a new world order. And whatever this is, if it's according to plan, you know, if these people are then in power, well, maybe they say it was this entire free internet that only got the people to revolution. It's them responsible. It's the internet responsible. It's guys like you and me who in the spirit of freedom of speech throw out informations that the flock can cope with. So maybe you will be held responsible then at the end. And if then they can prove you that you've been wrong on certain things because you fell into trap of this disinformation. And I tell you, it's also for me, it's so difficult to get the value of certain information. Some stuff you can really look it up and research and you can form a kind of stick with it. But how can you prove that really Hillary Clinton is directly connected to this? I cannot prove it, you know. Maybe the NSA can. Maybe I can trust the plan. Maybe they can. But I can prove it. Now, what if this is only if this is a trap? You know, you push these things, and maybe in 2 or 5 years this comes back to you, and they say, hey, well, all these internet guys, they made people crazy. You know, they were saying all these things, and it could be the end then of the free internet. That could be the conclusion for them to say, okay, well, we learned our lesson and no more freedom to the people. That could be. Could be that we lose our credibility because they can say, look at this guy. He was always saying this is bad and this guy is a big pedophile. And if you can't prove it, I mean, you might even not only lose your credibility and they can throw a lot of mud on you. It might be even... There might be even problems. They might put it in front of court or something. Yeah? Serious. I mean, this might also happen. Yeah? And I also don't count me out because I mean, if this happens, we're in trouble. But this is also possible. So we have to really. It's so hard. To get a compass. And I always say to you, don't believe me. Believe in your own compass. That's it. You know, we all have an inner compass. That's where we get orientation from. And this is for me where I feel, hey, there's something wrong. And I felt it from the first thing, first times I got in contact with QAnon news and people tell me, why did you get this? And I say, hey, where do you have this from? How can you prove it? Where does it come from? Ah, it's coming really from the NSA. Well, thank you. How much do I believe them? Is that really my connection? Should I believe that they save me? No, I don't. I'm very skeptical about this phenomena. And yeah, of course, and that's I'm coming to the end now. Of course, I could be wrong in this. No problem. I could be wrong in this. You know, I don't claim like to be Q. I don't claim like to be a pope who knows everything. You know, or some master moriah. I'm not that. I'm a man. I'm a man. You know, I have my orientation. I have a good compass. Yes, I say that. Otherwise, I would not have the guts to do the stuff. I'm quite sure about what I talk. You know, but I also know that I might be wrong. Maybe in 10 years I would see things differently. But even if, then I would have no problem to say, okay, I was wrong on this. Indeed, Uncle Q solved it for us. Hey, he got it straight. And I say, thanks America, thanks Uncle Q. But I guess it's not a very likely scenario. Because in the end, you need to look at yourself. That's where you have the spirit. That's where you have a soul. And this is what you need to connect to. And this is also where you have the compass. And let me finish this with one thing that the German philosopher Kant said one time. And Kant can also be viewed critical, no problem. But this is a very good statement. And I try to translate it because I don't know how it's the official translation in English. But Kant said at one time, he said, the stars, this infinity of stars in the sky, and the code within the human heart, the code to know what's right and what's wrong. These two things, they are the greatest thing in life. And that's it, man. That's it. We have a code in our heart, you know. You know what's right or wrong, and you don't need any savior or any priest or any cue or what to make a plan for you. You need to connect with yourself. And from there, you have your compass and follow this orientation. And even if it might lead you in a way that not everybody else is walking, but follow your own compass. And that's really what it's all about. That's the art of living, nothing else. And that you follow your compass. And of course, then we might not always be on the same path. you go on your path and things look different from somebody else who's also following his path, is at another side. But hey, sooner or later we'll meet again. But follow your own path, you know. Be strong. Trust yourself. Don't trust any other plan. And I mean, okay, for those people who are so in such an infantile state of mind that you believe that there's a big plan comes to you from God, okay, believe it. But those of you who are having a certain resonance with the stuff that I say, trust yourselves, people. Look at yourself. Look inside. Take responsibility to yourself, of yourself and of your people. And hey, then we can live and we can create a state of living that is comfortable for us, that we feel good with no violence, with none of this criminal stuff. Of course we have to get rid of it. But we won't get rid of it just waiting for the plan of Grandmaster Q. That won't do it. We have to do it on our own. And there, I see a good chance that we can do it. Human beings are very creative. If we set this free, if you get in this position, everything is possible. Of course we can make this world a better place to live in. It is perfect. Like Leibniz said, the philosopher Leibniz, this is the best of all possible worlds. And we'd perfectly fit in there. We don't need to wait for some savior, if it's the good aliens, the white brotherhood or whatever. We don't need this. We don't need any saviors. So save yourself. And then you can also help other people with their problems. And yeah, of course. Of course we have to do something. You know, this is it. Heal yourself. Healing, that's what it's about. But healing doesn't come, I lean back and I eat my popcorn and enjoy the show. I mean, this is very, sorry to say that, but this is really childish. And I don't want to beef people who are into this cure thing. You know, it's not a matter of dumb. Because I know people who are also in this, and I know it's interesting. For those of you who are in this Q movement, maybe just lean back and ask yourself if you really believe in this plan or not. Lean back yourself, get out of this and try to listen to your inner voice, to your inner compass. And then you don't need any Q plan. Even and I think it's not likely, but even if it would be a benevolent plan, even if it would be really with love and compassion for people, I doubt it actually, but even if it would be, you don't need that. Because you have got all the love and feelings with other people you've got within your heart and make connection there. That's much more important there. All right, folks. Much more we could talk about this. And I guess maybe at certain parts of what I told you today, we could have digressed a little bit. And we will do this because there's so many interesting more stuff to come. And in that sense, I'm happy that you joined me for today. Support us if you can. Spread the vibe, spread the news. You can also support us if you hit the donation button. Anything we will be happy. And but most of all, I'm happy if there's some resonance with you. Also, write comments, get in discussion, get into action. That's the difference. Don't sit on the sofa and enjoy just the with some popcorn the show. You know, this is not a show. Even if I say sometimes this is a show, but only because I have no better word for it. But this is not a show. This is not entertainment. You know, I mean, get into life. You know, that's it. Okay. Well, in this sense, I thank you all for watching. Spread the vibes and have a good time. Yeah. Bye bye.